So let's talk about your next case, the 76-year-old lady.
Okay. I first saw this patient back in November 2012, at which time she was a morbidly obese female that had urinary incontinence, which is the reason she presented to her urologist, who performed a CT to try and determine if there was any reason for her incontinence. And to his surprise, the patient had retroperitoneal adenopathy. And at that point, she was referred to me. So I ordered a CT-guided retroperitoneal node biopsy, which revealed a diffuse large cell lymphoma, B-cell type. The tumor was CD20 positive and also was negative for BCL2. And important to mention at this point, you will notice why I say it's important in a couple of minutes. It was CD5 negative. And it's important also to highlight the fact that she was CD23 negative. The tumor was also negative for CD10, BCL6, and MUM1. Then, as part of the routine staging workup, I ordered a bone marrow, and the bone marrow showed mildly increased lymphocytes with interstitial lymphoid infiltrates. Flow cytometry was done and showed 14% kappa monoclonal lymphocytes, which were positive for CD5 and for CD20. And also for CD23. So now you probably realize why I mentioned that the importance about the tumor, the lymph node being negative for CD5 and being negative for CD23, because the CLL was positive for CD5 and was positive for CD23 also.
So before you continue, could you just kind of go back through a little bit slower and specifically the way you were looking at the results at that point?
Okay, talking about the immunohistochemistry?
Yes.
Okay. The tumor itself, the lymph node, was negative for CD5 and was negative for CD23, but positive for CD20 and BCL2. Now, the important issue here is that when we did the bone marrow for staging, we found that she had a lymphocytosis, and the lymphocytes were monoclonal for kappa. And the lymphocytes were positive for CD5, and positive for CD20 and CD23, but negative for FMC7. So that's a typical phenotype for CLL. However, the patient did not meet the criteria for CLL because her blood counts were completely normal. So this immediately brings up the point about whether these two tumors, the CLL and the large cell lymphoma, are in any way related. Could this be that this patient had quote-unquote CLL, although she doesn't really qualify for the definition of CLL because she didn't have the 5,000 monoclonal lymphocytes in peripheral blood that is required to make that diagnosis. But nevertheless, it's a concern that perhaps she had the very early CLL developing in the marrow and that it might have transformed into a diffuse large cell lymphoma, the so-called Richter's transformation. I didn't think that that was the case because, number one, patients who develop Richter's usually have full-blown CLL, and usually they've had it for some time, commonly for at least 2 years before they develop Richter's. And she didn't meet that criteria. But the other thing is that the immunophenotype of the lymph node was completely different to the phenotype of the lymphocytes in the marrow. If you have a patient with CLL that develops a large cell lymphoma because of a Richter's transformation, usually they retain the same immunophenotype as the CLL, which was not the case with this patient. So I decided that it would be very unlikely that she had Richter's and treated her as a common garden variety diffuse large cell lymphoma, giving her R-CHOP. Very soon, it's going to be 5 years since I treated her, and she achieved the CR after the 6 course, and she has maintained complete response so far. So I think that's the best proof that this was not a Richter's transformation, because those patients usually die in a few months.
That's a really great case. Very, very instructive.